This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. The United States Supreme Court has ruled that all states must recognize gay marriage and issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. The implications of this ruling for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are enormous. I spoke with Jim Campbell of Alliance Defending Freedom early last week about the possible consequences of this court ruling. My interview with Mr. Campbell is the subject of today's program.
And now today's Fast Track.
Here's news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matthew C. Harrison issued a pastoral letter in the wake of the shooting of African-American worshipers in South Carolina. It reads in part, "We mourn the loss of these dear Christians and pray for their loved ones. May they be consoled by the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We reject racism and racially motivated hatred in all its forms. We repent where we have fallen short, and we pray for strength to stand with what is good and right and true. We pray for the perpetrator and his family, even as we demand swift execution of justice. May Lord have mercy on us." College students who are members of LCMS congregations and are at least 18 years old are eligible to enter an essay contest, offering them a chance to serve as a free-to-be-faithful young adult ambassador and to attend a September 8th through the 10th conference in Washington, D.C. on Speaking Truth in the Public Square. Sponsored by the Synod's Religious Liberty Education and Awareness Program, free-to-be-faithful students are invited to submit essays on one of three topics: one man, one woman marriage, the sanctity of life from conception to natural death, or the importance of religious liberty and the right to worship, live, work in accordance with your faith. For more information on how the LCMS is already bearing witness to Christ in the public square, visit lcms.org/free-to-be-faithful. The Executive Committee of the International Lutheran Council is finalizing plans for its next triennial world conference, set for September the 24th through the 27th in Buenos Aires, Argentina. The gathering will meet under the theme, Bringing the Reformation to the World, and is being hosted by the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Argentina and its Concordia Seminary. The ILC Executive Committee is recommending that the conference accept into membership confessional Lutheran churches in Liberia, Nicaragua, Norway, Siberia, and Sudan. World Lutheran News Digest will be back right after these messages.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. on air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson, host of Moments of Assurance, Sunday at 9:15 a.m. right here on KFUO Radio. Each week, I have the privilege of producing a quarter hour of message, music, and prayer blended together to fit a special theme for that day. You'll hear messages of hope and complete confidence in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You'll hear choirs and instrumentals to support the message as well. So I invite you to join me. That's Moments of Assurance, Sunday morning at 9:15 a.m.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work that he will long after Lutheran Firehammer.
I'm Kip Allen, host for World Lutheran News Digest. With me is my guest today, Mr. Jim Campbell, who's lead counsel for the Alliance for Defending Freedom. Jim, would you tell me a bit about yourself and your organization and how you are involved in this gay marriage issue?
Alliance Defending Freedom is a legal organization that's involved primarily in three issues. One is the issue that we're talking about today, marriage and the family. Another is the very important issue of religious liberty. And the third and final issue is the matter of life, abortion-related, end-of-life-related type issues. So we as a legal organization are committed to engaging those three issues, and we're committed to ultimately winning and ensuring that religious liberty thrives in this country, ensuring that the law properly recognizes and understands marriage and the family, and that life is protected.
I've been reading over several of the accounts of the case right now before the Supreme Court, including some of your earlier statements and writings. And one thing that has struck me is that it seems that regardless of the outcome, even if we get the best possible outcome, there are going to be enormous implications for religious liberty, not all of them good. Could you go into a little bit of that detail?
Yeah, I think that a major subplot surrounding the Supreme Court's impending decision on the issue of marriage involves religious liberty. And we saw it at the oral argument that the Supreme Court held back in late April. A couple of the justices inquired specifically about this question. I think one of the most telling exchanges during that oral argument was between Justice Alito and the Solicitor General of the United States of America, who the Solicitor General is essentially the attorney for the Obama administration. And what Justice Alito said was, is there going to be a concern here about the tax-exempt status of religious institutions if we were to constitutionalize the issue of same-sex marriage and require all states to recognize it? And the Solicitor General's response was very candid and very open. He said, it's certainly going to be an issue. I don't deny that. So that's just one example of how the decision that the Supreme Court issues on this question of marriage, which is so fundamental to many people's religious convictions, how that's going to have an impact on religious liberty in this country.
Well, certainly with the LCMS, this is our stance, is that marriage is between a man and a woman, and we can't deviate from that. We believe that this is actual scripture from God. There has been some talk that should the ruling go against us, that we might get out of the marriage business. That is, that no longer will we act as agents of the state in terms of actually performing marriage ceremonies. What we might do, for example, is a person wants to get married, a couple wants to get married, they get married through a magistrate. Then they would come to the church and say, we want you to bless this union. And we could say, of course, well, you go along with our doctrine. They say yes, and then we can bless it. However, there's a lot more to the church than just that. As has been pointed out, we have seminaries, we have universities, we have housing projects. There's numerous things that we do here in the Missouri Synod. And, of course, contributions to us are tax-exempt, as they are to this radio station. All this is now in jeopardy. Is that correct?
It certainly might be. Again, it remains to be seen what the Supreme Court rules, but if the Supreme Court does say that the Constitution requires all states to redefine marriage to include same-sex couples, I do think that these types of issues will now be on the table. So, and you mentioned in particular the issue of housing. That was another issue that one of the justices, specifically Chief Justice Roberts, talked about at the oral argument. He said that, how will a decision that constitutionalizes same-sex marriage, how will that impact a religious school that has married housing but wants to confine that married housing only to the union of husband and wife? So this is an issue with significant ramifications for religious entities, not just churches, but also religious educational institutions and other institutions that are engaged in child welfare issues. So this is something that is going to have a widespread impact. And why is that so? One of the main things is that marriage impacts a lot of different aspects of our society. Marriage permeates our society. So when it changes at such a fundamental level, it's going to have society-wide impacts.
Another thing that we're seeing increasingly are gay activist groups going after private individuals and private companies. We've seen it with a pizza parlor. We've seen it with floral arrangements, photographers. And I know that your organization has been involved in that. Why are these attacks going on? I don't fully understand that.
Essentially, there is a position taken by many people out there that is, if you are open for business, you have to provide services for any and all purpose related to what you might be doing. So some of the examples that you hinted at, we have represented a photographer who was a person of faith that had religious convictions about marriage and would photograph marriages, but politely declined to photograph a same-sex commitment ceremony. Ultimately, she was served with a lawsuit, and she, for 7 years of her life, dealt with that lawsuit and battled against it, and in the end, she didn't prevail. But our position at Alliance Defending Freedom is that every American should be free to live and work consistent with their beliefs, and that the government shouldn't come in and require someone to do something that conflicts with their belief or to surrender their ability to make a living doing what it is they do. So you're correct that these are cases that are going on. There's the case I mentioned with a photographer. There is a case involving a florist in Washington State. There are a couple cases involving cake artists throughout various places in the country. There's a case with a promotional printer who declined to print a shirt promoting a local pride festival in Kentucky. So these issues are popping up again and again. And there is a simple principle that we at Alliance Defending Freedom stand for, and that is that all Americans should be free to live and work consistent with their faith without fear that the government is going to punish them.
Well, we hear in the First Amendment, and the other side always talks about where Congress shall make no law respecting establishment of religion, but there is also the free exercise clause. It would seem to me as a layperson and certainly as a non-attorney, but it would seem to me that I should be able to be free to exercise my religion in my own business.
That's absolutely true. Every American should have this right. And if you're an American who is operating a business, then you shouldn't have to forfeit your freedoms and your liberty in order to make a living. And that's really what the Supreme Court recently affirmed in the Hobby Lobby case that it decided last summer. And we're hopeful that that principle will continue to manifest itself in the law and that more and more people will come to understand that everyone should be free to live and work consistent with their convictions, even if they're operating a business.
One of the things I'd heard earlier from you in the webinar that you had held was that the court might hold, if indeed they overturn the marriage protection laws, they might hold that those people who have been opposed to gay marriage do it for reason of animus. And that opens up a whole can of worms. I've spoken personally to a number of gay activists who say, well, if you don't support our position, then you hate me. You're persecuting me. You hate me personally.
Positions like that, I think, are based on a profound misunderstanding of the institution of marriage and the relationship that is marriage. Marriage exists for a very profound purpose. It exists to bring together a man and a woman and to join them as husband and wife, so that they can provide a mother and a father to any child that their union produces. And that's important because every child does in fact have a mother and a father, and every child does in fact deserve to know and be raised by that man and that woman. So that's why societies throughout the history of mankind have affirmed marriage as the union of a man and a woman and have held up that relationship and treated it differently than all others. So anyone who makes a claim like the one that you referenced, they simply don't understand the not only the historical purpose of marriage, but also the religious and the biblical purpose of marriage. So when someone has a proper understanding of that, then they can see that frankly, the purpose of marriage, the goal of marriage, is just entirely separate from having any views about same-sex relationships or same-sex attraction or issues related to those topics.
It seems to me that, you know, the state might have a role in that, in a same-sex couple, for example, hospital rights, things along that line. And that's where the state can enforce basically a contract between people. But there is a difference between a contract and a difference between marriage. Marriage is a spiritual concept, and I don't see where the state can rule on spirituality.
That is certainly an aspect of it, but even when we're talking about contractual matters and other sorts of the typical rights, benefits, and legal incidents that are oftentimes associated with marriage, those are very important matters and very important topics that the state is going to have to address one way or another. One example is that when the state recognizes a marriage, one of the things that goes along with it is that if a woman has a child, then the state automatically deems that woman's husband to be the father of her children. And that makes good and perfect sense, because that is a presumption that typically holds in all instances. But if you take marriage away, and if you take the government out of marriage, you still have to make decisions like this. But if you don't have the construct of marriage to provide a general framework for us to make those decisions, then we're going to have to get the government more involved in things like determining paternity, and dividing property and other matters like that. So regardless of how the state's going to do it, the state is going to have to be involved in those issues one way or another. Historically, throughout the history of our nation, the state has done that through the institution of marriage. So to ask the state to then get out of the institution of marriage is still going to pose significant problems, because the state's going to have to figure out other ways to do all the things that the institution of marriage has historically done.
It seems to me that the fallout from this could impact way beyond just the churches and beyond the people, the faith-based organizations. I know one thing that you had raised also is that a number of, for example, adoption agencies that are religiously based and tries to place their children with traditional couples. In Illinois, I believe, is one state where the Catholic Charities organization that's involved in that has been driven out of that business. And a lot of innocent people are going to get hurt by that.
That is exactly true. And it didn't just happen in Illinois. It also happened soon after marriage was redefined in Massachusetts, and soon after marriage was redefined in the District of Columbia. Faith-based agencies like Catholic Charities were driven out of the foster and adoption business. And what that does is it takes these very good, qualified institutions who have spent years and years placing children in loving homes. And it takes them and it excludes them, and it frankly creates a scenario where there are less providers available to find loving homes for children who need it. So this is not an issue that has small ramifications. What we're dealing with specifically with this example is children who need homes, and there are faith-based agencies out there that are willing to do it. So what we as a society need to be committed to is ensuring that the faith-based organization, just as much as a secular organization, is able to do that good work, because it's very important work that somebody needs to do in our society, and a lot of people of faith are committed to it.
That was one point I was trying to raise, is that this issue is broad. There is many more implications to this than people are realizing. This is more than just marriage. This is more than just a religious issue. There's fallout all across the spectrum. One thing you had that was brought up earlier, and you'd mentioned that the Solicitor General said, is that the tax situation might well change. Now, I know that Senator Mike Lee and Representative Raul Labrador have introduced a bill that supposedly will bar the IRS from punishing religious groups by removing their tax status because of their religion. Obviously, I don't think that this is going to pass the Congress, and even if it does, President Obama would veto it. But is there any movement that you are aware of to grant protection over and above, depending upon how this ruling goes?
A couple points. One is, you're absolutely correct that this bill has been introduced in Congress, and it's a very important bill. But I think we also need to support similar legislation in the various states to make sure that states won't pull state benefits and state tax exemptions from these faith-based organizations that continue to believe and live consistent with the truth that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. So yes, there are other mechanisms available, and there's the opportunity to defend using constitutional principles. So, for example, if the federal government were to try to remove churches or another religious organization's tax-exempt status because of their views and actions involving the institution of marriage, then we would, organizations like ours, we at Alliance Defending Freedom, would be more than happy to raise constitutional defenses that the free exercise of religion guarantees the right of a religious organization to not be penalized simply for conducting itself consistent with its religious beliefs on marriage.
What advice would you have for the LCMS with this upcoming ruling? We don't know which way it's going to go yet, but regardless of the impact, regardless of the outcome, the impact is going to affect us. What advice do you have for the LCMS?
Well, I think that everyone, whether you're a pastor or just someone in a congregation somewhere throughout America, I think we all need to be informed about these issues. We all need to educate ourselves about marriage, and not only the religious doctrine of marriage, but also why the state is involved in marriage and why the state does very good and important work through its recognition of marriage. And I think we need to be willing to communicate the truth in love about marriage and why marriage is uniquely the union of a man and a woman. So that's one very important point. And another important point is that no matter what the Supreme Court decides, the issue of marriage will continue to be discussed and debated in our society. That this issue, despite what some might say, it's not going away. No matter what the court says, people are still going to debate and discuss this issue, and it's still going to be a matter of that people are going to fight over legally. It's not going away. So we as Christians, as people of faith, we need to be informed and be committed to stand up for the truth.
It seems to me that this is becoming more and more important and more evident as we go on. Look around the world. You know, we see, of course, huge persecutions against Christians in the third world. But even here in the United States, it seems to me that more and more Christians, more and more people of faith, whether they are Jewish, Christian, or Muslim, are under increasing attack simply because they believe in something. I don't understand it, but I think I recognize that this is happening. Do you see this as well?
I do. I think that it used to be that cultural Christianity was acceptable, and that to hold to many biblical views was accepted in society more than it is today. It's increasingly becoming the case that a comfortable cultural form of Christianity is more and more difficult to obtain. And for anyone who's a student of the Scriptures, they would understand that sometimes can be a good thing for people of faith. That sometimes can be a good thing for the Christian community. So I think it's important to recognize that, but it's also important to realize that what that calls for from us as Christians is a renewed commitment to our faith and to what the Bible teaches about all aspects of our faith. And not only to be committed to it in our personal life, but also be willing to speak the truth about it in our personal life as well as our public life.
Well, Mr. Campbell, that pretty much answers the questions that I had. Is there anything that you feel should be brought up that we've not discussed, something that would be of importance to our audience?
I don't think there's anything new, but again, just to summarize, I think what's important here is that no matter what the Supreme Court rules in this case, it's important for all of us to remain committed to speaking the truth in love about marriage and to living consistent with our beliefs about marriage. And that might get harder and it might get more trying to do that in our society, but we should all remain committed to that cause.
That's Mr. Jim Campbell with the Alliance Defending Freedom, and I'm Kip Allen with World Lutheran News Digest. World Lutheran News Digest will be back right after these messages.
Hi. I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
There's a special place where rare books from times long ago come alive in your imagination. A special place where you can rediscover values that transcend time itself. A special place of adventure, mystery, and drama that's both old and new at the same time. Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on KFUO Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis.
And I am Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's in New Athens and Trinity in Darmstadt, and we welcome you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics.
Matt, let go of me, man. No, it's not real wrestling. We're just talking about Bible issues.
No.
Oh, 9:05 Saturday mornings, 8:50 a.m. KFUO.
World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Worldwide KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime, streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Saturday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.